I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
So John, I've been taking golf lessons, and I don't know if I told you that. I've been taking golf lessons at work, and it's funny because I've worked for a golf instruction company for almost 6 years now, and I took some lessons in the beginning, and they sucked, and I hated the coach, and I said as much, and I wasn't going to go back to him. And now I've got this really cool coach, and he's teaching me golf again, which I'd played when I was much, much younger, but I just suck at it. Anyway, I go and there's a little golf course, a little public golf course right by work, and they got a little driving range, and I go there every day, but I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to like interact with people. I just want to go grab a bucket of balls. And I always go up on the upper deck. They got the ground floor and then they got an upper deck above it. I always go on the upper deck because there's fewer people up there and I don't have to mess with people. But there's still usually like one or two folks and they always look longingly at other people as if, you know, can we please talk? Can we have a conversation? And I don't want to do that. So I bought a cheap ass little pair of sports kind of wireless earbuds. And I can't use the Apple earbuds. Like I have them, but they always fall out of my ear.
Okay.
They don't fit very well. And so I always like something that's over the ear or something that at least hooks. So these hook on my ear. So I bought these cheap ass little headphones, earbud things, wireless. So I can just be up there and there's like a visual cue to people. I don't want you to talk to me. Now, my question to you, because we're going to be talking about streaming here in a little bit, and I kind of felt like this was slightly related because it's Bluetooth and all that good stuff. But my question to you is that the most insanely introverted thing you've ever heard of in your life?
I don't know how to have a I was going to say perhaps, but I. So are you actually listening to something while you do it? Or are you?
I am. Okay. Yes. No, I am.
I pretty much every day when I'm in the teacher's room eating my lunch, I have earphones in. And I know, I get away with a lot of, I get away with a lot of stuff at my job because I'm one of the few men. So I do get the, well, what do you want? Like, you know, and they get it. Cause it's like, I'm the only other men at my job are the principal and like one of the other teachers and the custodians. So I'm one of like two male teachers that actually, and the other guy usually goes out to eat for lunch. So I'm like the only man that goes into the teacher's room. So I think they kind of get it that like, I kind of want to just like read my book or whatever. And so I do the same thing. So if that's the most introverted thing that exists, then I'm right there with you.
Well, I've noticed it's a trend in grocery stores now.
Yes.
Yeah, people will do their grocery shopping with headphones on.
I used to do that when I'd go grocery shopping, and I don't anymore because I kind of felt like a jerk, not because I had headphones in, but because I just noticed while I was doing that, you know, you kind of need your ears when you're if you're shopping at a kind of a busy time, like people are trying to get around you and everything. And if you're just like in your own world and you're in the middle of the aisle and someone's, it's kind of a dick move to, you know, not be aware of your surroundings in that kind of area. So I stopped wearing them, even though I enjoyed listening to music while I was in the grocery store. I don't do it because I end up kind of getting through the shopping faster then because then I'm just kind of like very aware of my surroundings and I just want to get in and get out. So, but I do notice a lot of people these days with head, especially now that it's wireless, it makes it a lot easier to do that. But I usually don't.
I will say that King Supers, at least the one that I shop at, plays a lot of like a mix of sort of like light pop rock, maybe a little bit of classic rock, mm-hmm. kind of stuff. Like they have that playing. And so I probably should wear headphones instead of walking down the aisle looking for, you know, cans of shit and belting at the top of my lung. Band on the run. Band on the run.
I think it's just we're getting older, but my supermarket played Round and Round by Rat the other day. That, yeah, and I've heard a lot of like 80s metal in that supermarket over the past couple months. I'm like, I guess I'm just getting old and the stuff that I liked is considered old stuff now, because it's like that was, you know, metal from MTV from 30 years ago.
Well, I'm just saying it, but I think it's worse when I'm about a third down the aisle and I am singing.
Yeah.
Because of the damn music. And I realize, oh, I'm on the wrong aisle, and I'll do a U-turn and there's someone standing there just kind of staring at me like, oh my God, don't kill me.
Yeah. I understand.
I'm singing.
Yes.
I'm not a serial killer.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. But
now I will say my break room at work, I don't eat there very often because it doesn't matter what I do. People start talking to me. Like I will go and there's booths. We have booths, and there's one booth where you can go and you can sit and you can slide all the way into the corner where no one can see you. And I will have my headphones on. You can clearly see that I have my giant honking work headphones that cannot be missed. They're as big as the headphones that I'm wearing right now for podcasting. Like they're the big over the ear recorder type headphones, right? And I've got those Bluetooths on and I'm listening to music or I'm listening to an audiobook and I'm sitting there eating and someone will come over, slide in across from me and start talking to me.
That's weird. Yeah, in my teacher's room, it's just like two long tables, so you kind of really can't avoid people unless you put your phones in. No, it's okay though. It's not so bad. Well, I think we were going to talk a little bit about streaming services this week because you wrote about this on our patrons only Facebook page. You were saying that you signed up for Hulu or doing a trial or something. So why don't you tell us what you're doing with Hulu and what your experience so far has been with it?
I signed up for the free trial of Hulu specifically to watch Veronica Mars season 4.
Right.
So they dropped Veronica Mars season 4 a day early.
Right.
It was supposed to go last. What day is it, John?
Well, today's Saturday. So I think it was supposed to be like last Friday. Maybe they dropped it on Thursday or something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Dropped it at 24 hours early. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to watch it because I did enjoy Veronica Mars and I also enjoyed the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That they did. I thought it was a great show. And I wanted to watch season 4. So I signed up, and I'm really bad about signing up for things and then forgetting to cancel them. So I signed up for the cheaper version of Hulu that includes commercials.
Okay.
Just in case I forget to cancel it. After that, I did end up putting a reminder in my calendar.
Yes.
To remind me to go and cancel it. So hopefully that'll happen. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So I signed up specifically to watch Veronica Mars. And I went on their website. I signed up. And then, you know, the first thing it asks you is, what are some things that you like? And it flashes a bunch of TV shows at you. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was going to build some sort of preference list. But what it actually does is it just puts all those shows into a queue for you.
Right, you could do that. And it will kind of throw you stuff that's along those lines. Its algorithm isn't as good as Netflix's.
So far, it hasn't done that. So far, the only thing it's thrown at me is Handmaid's Tale over and over and over
right.
and over and over and over and over again.
They will push their original stuff.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's pushed at me. So I went through and I clicked all the things and set everything up. And then I went to my PlayStation and I did the little thing to set that up so everything works with my PlayStation 4, because that's usually where I consume most of my streaming stuff now.
Right.
And so I set that up, and the app is really cool. I think the app is worlds better than Amazon Prime.
Yes, definitely.
And, you know, slightly below Netflix.
Yes, I still think
Netflix is the best one.
I agree. I feel the exact same way. And I think you were talking about this in the comments of one of the Facebook posts that you did. There's the original content, and they have a lot of different stuff. It must be something with rights, and how expensive they are, and you know, sort of exclusivity versus non-exclusivity. But Hulu and Amazon Prime do get many of the same movies. Like, they'll be, you know, I follow various blogs that will be like, here are the new things coming to Netflix this month, and here are the new things coming to Hulu. And very often the new things that are coming to Hulu are also coming to Amazon. And so I bring that up because I like the Hulu app so much better on my TV that for those movies, if I do choose to watch any of them, I will always watch it on Hulu over Amazon Prime because I like the app much better. So if I have a choice between two, I'm always going to go with Hulu. I do like that quite a bit better. So other thoughts about Hulu? Like, I know you've been watching the Veronica Mars. Have you watched other things on it so far?
So Veronica Mars is 8 episodes. I've already watched it. Mm. I watched them all that weekend. Mm. So that was great. There is a lot of overlap between Prime and Hulu, specifically on movies.
Yes.
And that's why I mentioned this in the last episode as well. Teen Titans Judas Contract is on both. Mm-hmm. And then Justice League Dark is on both.
Right.
And I've got them in my queue on both.
Right.
So that was kind of interesting. When I started looking for television shows, I was kind of shocked at the lack of television shows on Hulu. I went to Sci-Fi, you know, the...
Oh, right.
S-Y-S-Y,
just 12 Monkeys.
To see if they had anything. And they just had 12 Monkeys. That's the only show that they have on there, which I thought was hilarious.
The Sci-Fi Channel, we've had a lot of talk about the Sci-Fi Channel.
They go out of their way. They go out of their way to make it as difficult as possible for me to ever watch their shit. That's what they do.
With recent Sci-Fi Channel shows, so I haven't watched the most recent season of 12 Monkeys, but I watched the first 3 seasons, and I think the fourth, and I believe it is the final season of that, is up there now. I haven't gotten to it yet, but I probably will because I did watch the earlier ones. That was on streaming on Hulu. They had the Dark Matter show, which was 3 seasons. That was on Netflix. That's on Netflix. And that's canceled too. That got canceled like a year or two ago. They have all these other shows that unless you buy the show, you can't get it. So I watched the first season of Killjoys and liked it quite a bit.
A lot of people did. That was a very popular show that you can't find any fucking
way. No, you got to buy it, which I'm okay. But the problem with that is, as we always talk about, there's many, many things to watch. So I have to be very motivated to buy it. I don't mind spending the money on it. But if I have my Netflix and my Hulu and my Amazon Prime, and there's many things that I have choices that I'm already paying for, I'm probably going to watch those first. And then lo and behold, I have not kept up with Killjoys. There's at least 3 seasons of that, maybe 4. I don't know. Is that still running? I couldn't even tell you.
I have no idea.
Yeah. So I don't even know. And I liked that first season a lot. And if that was popping up on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon, I would have probably kept up with it. I'm sure I would have because I liked it. But Sci-Fi is kind of a disaster with that because they do make it very hard. And then there's a Sci-Fi app, but I think the only way you can do that is if you log in with...
when you're a provider.
Yeah, which I don't have one, so I can't I can't do it. So I just don't watch their stuff. And that's fine. That's their business model. But I don't know if you can sort of survive with that business model these days. I don't think it works.
Yeah. So I went through and all the Star Trek shows are on there, but they're also on Prime. And I think they're also on Netflix at this point, like all the classic
ones.
Yeah, I think
so.
The original series, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and Enterprise, I believe, are all up there.
Right.
The movies go back and forth. The Star Trek movies, I've noticed, you know, ping pong back and forth between the different streaming services. Archer is up there, which is kind of cool because when FX split into multiple channels and they kind of spread their their content across, you know, this is going to be for age groups X to X. This is going to be for age groups X to X. And I think they moved Archer to FXX,
mm-hmm.
like two X's for some right. reason. That killed my DVR from recording it. So, like, I've missed the last few seasons. Dreamland and Adventure Island. I haven't been able to watch those because my DVR never picked them up because it changed channels. So Archer's in there. I haven't watched it yet. And there's a few other things, like How I Met Your Mother. I've been thinking about that show recently, and I always thought that was funny, and I thought that might be fun to watch again. That's actually there.
Oh, okay.
It's not on Netflix or Prime anymore, I don't believe. But yeah, there's not a whole lot of new things that I'm particularly interested in on Hulu. And they don't have enough what you would consider like classic content, I think, to keep me there for very long. And the whole idea of a two-tiered pricing model where one of the tiers that you actually pay to watch commercials just still to this day kills me. I can't believe that that is a model that anyone adopts because those commercials are so obnoxious. And when you're in those commercials, you cannot pause.
No, they just...
You can't do anything. They just run.
The minute they made... Because it started, initially, it was just with paid with commercials. Like, I don't think you even had a no commercials option at first.
No, you had a free.
You had a free, which was only...
With commercials.
There was a free with commercials, but that was only... You could not watch that on a television. That was only on, like, through a browser. If you...
Interesting.
Yeah, that was the way it was. And if you wanted to pay... If you wanted to watch it on a TV or even on a device, like even on an iPad or something, you had to pay for it. And, you know, I think that the history of Hulu... is the reason why it's kind of weird. And I think it gets better every year. I think Hulu was all the networks got together and were like, well, YouTube's putting all our crap up there illegally. So why don't we all pool our resources and we'll make our own little online thingy. And so that way people, even, you know, in the beginning when it was only free in the very beginning, I think they just thought like, well, at least we'll run commercials and make a couple bucks off it. So I think that was initially how Hulu got started. And there wasn't a lot of motivation on the part of the various networks that had a hand in it or had money in it to make it better. But now as the landscape has changed quite dramatically over the years, now they are trying with it, but now I don't even know, obviously, you know, Disney bought Fox, so that makes Disney the primary owner of Hulu now. So it's weird in terms of what's going to end up there. Cause as you said, there's not a lot up there now. But I feel like over the coming months, as that Disney deal, you know, starts to show stuff, you're going to see a lot of like Fox and FX and all that kind of stuff. And I think you'll see more of their movies. And I think Disney will.
Well, you got a lot of Marvel TV shows up there now. So you've got The Gifted,
right.
Runaways.
Yeah.
Cloak and Dagger.
Yes.
And I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is like where it's that thing where they only have the most recent five episodes and then they go away. So if there's a season and if you didn't start it from the beginning of that season, then.
Gotcha.
Then you're shit out of luck. You're only going to get the last five. And that's how I used to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I've watched the last season or two of S.H.I.E.L.D. when it goes over to Netflix. So I haven't watched the recent season of that.
So one thing that people were very excited about is the announcement that there's going to be on Hulu a new Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Okay.
Have you seen that?
No, I haven't actually.
Yeah, so is it ABC and BBC are working on it together, something like that? There's going to be a new Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy on Hulu, a new adaptation.
Hmm.
This is, if I'm counting correctly, this is the 4,332nd adaptation of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
They've done a lot of them over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Hulu's interesting. I'm gonna talk a little bit about streaming in that I have like sort of I'm gonna be negative first, and I'm gonna give a non-pick for streaming. I'm gonna give a non-pick for Sony Crackle. Have you ever used that? Now, Crackle back in the day had comedians in cars getting coffee, and I remember watching a couple episodes of that way back in the day. That was all they had in the beginning.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
What is the deal with comedians in cars getting coffee?
Right. And that's on Netflix now. And I know you like that. And I know a lot of people really like comedians in cars getting coffee. I have not watched it since it's gone over to Netflix. That's something I should, because that's like a nice, you know, you don't have to watch episodes in order. There's no, it's just like, do you want to watch Jerry Seinfeld and another comedian like be funny in a low stakes setting? Like, let's do that. And apparently people love it. And like, that's sort of something that I should get in the habit of watching, maybe with my wife too, because we don't have to keep up with anything. And I should get into that. But so it used to be just called Crackle. Now it's Sony Crackle. And I have this app on my phone, and I don't think I've ever done it as a pick, but I probably will eventually. It's called Just Watch, and it's what you could do is you could do a search for movies and a TV show, and then it'll tell you, oh yeah, that's on Netflix and that's on Amazon Prime, and like, all right, that one you can't stream for free, but you can buy it here, here, and here, and oh, that one's on, because there's a lot of like free services like Sony Crackle, so. I did a search for Looper, which is it's one of Rian Johnson's movies. It's the one with Bruce Willis and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And I never saw that, and I've been very interested in it. And I found out that it's on Sony Crackle. I'm like, oh, cool, that's free. I'll just put that app on the TV, and I'll watch that. I watched about 3 minutes of it. Patrick, they have a giant watermark that says Sony Crackle. In the bottom right hand corner, it's giant. I mean, and all right, you want to put your little watermark up for the first 30 seconds of the movie? Fine. I was watching it for like 3, 4. I'm like, that's not going away. Like, that's gonna be up here the whole time. Maybe it does go away eventually, but I just kind of felt like this is 4 minutes into it. And then, well, you know what I did? I stopped it. And I did a search on my phone about that. And people were just complaining about it, being like, they put a watermark up there for the whole movie. And there's like 27 commercials in the middle of this. And I'm like, I am not watching this movie like this. No way. So boo to Sony Crackle. Like they have some good movies up there, but I am not watching a movie. Like if I'll buy the movie if I really want to watch it, but I'll just wait till it goes someplace else if it ever does. But boo.
Sony Crackle. And you know, traditional television does that quite a bit now. But when you're watching shows on traditional television, they've got a watermark in the corner. Some of them do it a little bit bigger. Some of them do. I remember there was like, I feel like there was an experiment where they were doing it really big and they've shrunk them back down. But a lot of times you'll get like an animated thing, especially like if you're watching Fox,
right.
it'll do something for like animation domination.
Yes.
And suddenly the Fox logo will shift and animated characters will go running across the screen. It'll take up the whole bottom of the screen. You know, they'll do that quite a bit now too.
I've seen that, and I think I'm just so out of the habit of having commercials or anything like that, that it's really jarring. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. So I will always choose to pay some more money to not have interruptions. Or it's not even just that. It's also, when you sit down and you want to watch something, you want to just sit there and watch it and enjoy it. And if you got to jump through a million hoops and I'm not enjoying it now, because now I'm jumping through hoops and it's like an experience that I'm just not going to be into. And I'd rather spend the extra couple bucks to buy. I would rent movies more frequently if they gave you a longer window to watch them in, because if it's a long movie, I generally watch maybe up to an hour. Sometimes it's more of TV in an evening. Sometimes it's a little more. But if it's a 2-hour movie, there's a fairly decent chance that I'm not going to get that in two nights. I'm not going to finish it in two nights. I'm probably going to get onto a third night. And the rental window is, it's, I think they give you 30 days to watch it, but once you start it, then the clock is ticking and you have 48 hours. And I don't want to spend $3 to $5 and not finish a movie. So I would buy them, but then I, other than like the Star Wars stuff, I'm probably not going to buy most movies because I don't rewatch movies that often. The Star Wars stuff and the Marvel stuff, I know I'll watch again, so I don't mind buying that stuff. But, you know, if it's just some random movie that seems kind of interesting, it's not worth $10 to buy it and then watch it one time and that be the end of it. So yeah, if they gave you a longer window to watch them in, I would rent movies more frequently. And I will pick a service, not a non-pick, but I'll be positive about a service that is pretty interesting. And that's Pluto TV. Do you use Pluto TV at all? Or have you, have you ever seen the ads for it or heard?
Nope.
It is, you would have no need for it because you have regular TV. It's essentially kind of like a more traditional TV experience. They have various channels, not like the network stuff, but it's free and there's commercials, but they don't have the watermark or anything. I don't know what made me, oh, you know what it was? I did a search for something and they had some concert movies, like some concert films that, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. You know, there's this Whitesnake concert from 7 years ago that's up on this Pluto TV. Let me see what that's about. And it was actually a pretty decent viewing experience. They had commercials in it, but not too many. And they didn't have a watermark or anything. So I watched a Whitesnake concert. And then they actually have a guide, like, basically they're just like showing stuff already. You can, they have movies and TV shows that you can watch, like you'd watch them on Netflix or something, but they also just have, here's the car channel where we're going to show all car shows. And here's this. So they have the WPT, the World Poker Tour channel. And my wife and I used to watch poker all the time, like when we were like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And they just run the World Poker Tour 24/7. They have poker games going. So in those moments where I just feel like putting nothing on that I have to follow, I will put on like the World Poker Tour channel. And my wife and I will just kind of sit there and sometimes watch it for 10 minutes, sometimes maybe like a half hour. It's like very soothing watching it. But they have some other interesting channels. They have like the Antique Roadshow channel where they just show old episodes of the Antique Roadshow. So I think Pluto TV is good if you do not have any traditional TV and you don't really want to make a choice and you don't want to get that invested. You can just kind of like flip through the channels like you used to and just have something somewhat mindless on. It kind of fills a little need that I had that is not met by Netflix or something, that just like I've heard it referred to as waterfall TV. Just put something on to, you know, to comfort me. I don't feel like paying attention, but here we go. I'm going to watch poker or Antique Roadshow or something like that. So it's not bad. You would probably have no need for it though, because you have regular TV, unless you really like poker. Unless you really like poker, yeah, and want to watch poker 24 hours a day. No. Otherwise, but they have like old like MTV channels. Like if you want to watch old episodes of Cribs or something like that. Oh yeah, they have all like the Nickelodeon channels. Like I think Viacom just made a deal with them, so I think they have all these MTV and Nickelodeon properties up there. So that's kind of interesting. But it's free. It's worth checking out. And they don't have the watermark, so that's like something that I have used a little bit lately. It's a nice contrast to Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon to have that kind of thing. So that's something that I've been doing there too. So have you been watching anything else other than the Hulu things? Have you been watching anything on Netflix or Amazon recently?
I did the first episode of The Boys, and that is definitely not for kids. That's a very adult show, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also very interesting, and I think it's going to be a hit. They spent some money on it. It's an Eric Kripke show. So the guy who created Supernatural.
He also did what was that called? Revolution. That was on NBC a while ago. That only had like two seasons. I never even got to the second season, but I liked the first season. It was the one where the world lost all of its power, and now we're back in the dark ages. Like, but I kind of enjoyed that show.
Yeah.
So I think Kripke did that as well. I think he's done a lot of things. He produces, but I know that he's mostly known for Supernatural. So he's doing The Boys, and it's like Seth Rogen, I think, is one of the producers too, like Seth Rogen.
Yeah, if I have to compare it to something, it reminds me of Injustice, Gods Among Us, the DC stuff, where, you know, one of the alternate Earths in the DC multiverse is one where Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and the rest of the Justice League basically had a turning point where they said, you know, why are we letting them run themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Everything will just work better if we run it for them.
Right.
That's kind of the vibe I'm getting from it. It's, I don't know if it's exactly that, but that's the vibe you get.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting. I'm definitely going to watch more of it.
I'm excited to watch it. Yeah, because it's based on Garth Ennis's comic. Garth Ennis is like one of those guys back in the days when I would read the Wizard comic guide every month. He was always in like the top 10 writers with like Neil Gaiman and all that. Did Garth Ennis do Preacher too? Was that his other big comic? I think he did Preacher. I don't remember. Well, comics fans can complain to me that I don't know it, but I remember his name popping up quite a bit. And I think that's what this series is based on a book that he did. I've been excited about it. I'm looking forward to diving into it. And I always like Carl Urban. I think he's always good and everything. I've always enjoyed him and in everything that he's done. Like, I liked him in Dread. He was great in Dread. He was obviously in the new Star Trek. He was in Lord of the Rings. He was in, what was that? Oh, he was in Thor, right? In Ragnarok. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So he's always good. Oh, and he had that show on, Fox a while back, where it was like in the future and he was a cop, mm-hmm. and like he had like an android partner. I thought that was a good show. That was only on for like a season or two, but he's always good. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. And I think it's a really fun, even though I know it's like ultra violent and not for kids, it's a real fun kind of premise, I think, for a show. And I know it's been done before and you kind of compared it to other things, but I think it's an interesting take, especially nowadays where we have, where superhero movies and shows are so mainstream now, you know, like obviously with all the success of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all the CWDC shows and everything. I think a show like this really makes sense now because, you know, most people are pretty well versed in superhero stuff at this point, to sort of have this perspective on it. I think the time is good for it. So we'll see how you like, how many episodes are it? Do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder if this is like a shorter run or I'm fine either way. Like I tend to even like them when they're kind of shorter runs. So I'm kind of okay. I bet it's at least 10 though. Or could be. Anyway, that's cool.
And I'm looking forward to the rest of it. To be honest with you, what I'm really excited about, and it's something that kind of came out, they talked a little bit about it at SDCC. But we didn't talk about it in the last episode, is actually Crisis.
That's going to be the next crossover with this
DCW. Yeah, CW shows. And I think it's going to be a bookend for Arrow.
Okay. Yeah, because
this is
next season.
This is his last season.
Okay. Okay.
And it's going to be a shorter season for him as well.
Right.
I think it's only 10 episodes, something like that. 8 episodes, 10. So it's going to be a short run for Arrow. But I'm ridiculously excited about it because there's lots of things that they could do. There's lots of things that people would like them to do. I even posted on the Facebook group an article from somewhere where they talked about how this is what they'd like to see done, which is, you know, basically have Oliver Queen. If you're not familiar with the Crisis comic, the Monitor taps certain superheroes from across the multiverse and then has them actually go to other planets across the multiverse and recruit other heroes to fight in the battle. So that's a very watered down premise for the original Crisis comic. And because the end is coming.
Right.
And so the article that I posted talked about, wouldn't it be cool if Oliver Queen, if Arrow in his role as Harbinger and going out and recruiting people, and this is all speculation. We don't actually know what his role is going to be. We have no idea. This is just like, wouldn't it be cool if? So wouldn't it be cool if the final season of Arrow is him in the role of Harbinger going out on behalf of the Monitor, trying to recruit heroes from the multiverse. And he goes to the 1990s Flash world to recruit that Flash, which we caught a glimpse of, if you haven't caught up yet. He appeared in the last crossover.
Okay.
Then he goes to Metropolis, and it's the Metropolis of Lois and Clark. And we get Terry Hatcher and Dean Cain. And Dean Cain is the older Superman, timeline-wise, because in the original Crisis, there's an older Superman, there's a younger Superman. So Dean Cain plays the older Superman. Arrow recruits him and Lois to come and help and fight. And they just kind of tapped every single version of DC that's ever existed. Like, he ends up in Smallville, and he recruits Tom Welling, his version of Superman. So now we have two versions of Superman, in addition to Tyler Hoechlin, who becomes, you know, the current version of Superman from Supergirl. You know, and maybe he goes and he recruits Supergirl, the older Supergirl, from the movie, right? And he brings her in. And it's just all these little different versions that have been done throughout the decades, and that's where he's going. I mean, you want to talk about fan service.
Right.
That would have been really cool. What they actually announced is also got a lot of people excited. So the guy who's playing Superman right now in Supergirl, he's coming back.
Right.
Did you hear who's coming as the older Superman?
Yeah, it's Brandon Routh, right? It's
Brandon Routh.
He plays the Atom right now.
Right, but he was also Superman in Superman Returns. Mm-hmm. He is going to come back as Superman. So that was very interesting to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to do, but obviously they're planning something, and I think it's going to be very exciting.
Now I will tell you this. I started at the beginning of the summer, I started watching, because I'm not up to date on the most recent seasons of the DC CW stuff. I watched maybe the first like 6 or 7 episodes of Legends, because I knew they weren't in that crossover, and Legends was my favorite from the past couple of years, and I've lost enthusiasm for the CW DC stuff, and I'm like, well, let me start with these because I like this a lot, and I didn't keep going with it. I watched about 6 or 7 episodes, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. So I think you liked the recent seasons. Like, is it? It just seems like so much. Is it worth the time to invest in it? Because I'm just like, I don't know what you're feeling of the most recent seasons of Legends. Like, does it get better? Is it a weak season of Legends, and I should go on to Flash, or what do you think?
I enjoyed Legends. I enjoyed the stuff going on between, you know, the guy and his dad. I enjoyed the stuff with Constantine.
Uh-huh.
I thought Constantine was great throughout the entire season.
Uh-huh.
We got to see some cool stuff from him. And, you know, the humor is there throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
We continue with Rory. You know, Rory is still writing his romance novels, which is just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting famous at it and popular, which is also hilarious. So, you know, I think Legends doesn't take itself seriously, and that's what works about it. It of all the shows, it has embraced who and what it is very similar to the way Supernatural has.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know why. I lost steam on it, and I'm sure I'll dip back in. I'll at least watch a couple episodes of Flash, because I liked Flash a lot last year, too. So I
enjoyed all of them.
Uh-huh.
To different degrees and levels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I the Oliver in jail.
Yeah.
Is very dark.
Okay.
But so is Oliver.
Right.
Like, I mean, that's the roots of the character that they've created on this show. You know, he was very dark and he has to do shit to survive, you know, in prison. Meanwhile, everybody else has to do other shit to survive. So, you know, I did enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed The Flash. I thought I thought the dynamic of what they created in that season with time travel and different things that kind of happen was very interesting, very cool. All of these shows, just like every single network show, they have their overarching, this is part of the whole story for the season, and oh my God, this is really great. And then they have their really stupid side episodes that they have to do as filler.
Yeah, I think that's the problem for me is that it's like a lot to get through, and I feel like they can cut a lot of it out and I would enjoy it more. But as we've talked about before, that's not the model that those are going to have. So I just find myself moving on to different things, but I'm sure I'll dip my toe back in and I'll get into it. And I don't know.
You even go to something like Titans. And, you know, you can look at Titans and it's a short run. It's 8 or 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And even that, a lot of the episodes are setting up other things.
Okay.
It's like, here's a whole episode where we're going to set up Hawk and Dove. Here's a whole episode where we're going to set up Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
Could it be tighter? Sure. But that's not the story they want to tell.
Yeah. And it's fine. It's fine.
And I always think it's hilarious that, you know, we bitch about it. It's like, we went from absolutely nothing to some pretty cheesy stuff with Superboy.
Right.
You know, and Spider-Man cartoons and blah, blah, blah. And now we're getting stuff and everybody's really critical of everything we're getting. And I just kind of go, I feel like we need a William Shatner moment where he's just saying, get a life.
Yeah.
Get a life. We're in a time where we're getting more content than ever before of the stuff that we actually enjoy and grew up with and like and want to see more of. And all we can do is bitch and moan about it and complain about it.
Yeah, no, I get it. And I agree. And I'm not complaining about it being bad. I just sort of question whether it's worth it to keep going when there is so much other good stuff. It's like, but I think I'd rather watch The Boys this week rather than
and no one can make that decision but you.
Yeah, exactly.
No one can make that decision but you. I enjoyed it. Other people enjoyed it. You're not enjoying it. Why would you do it?
Yeah, I'm sure I'll give it another shot, especially like because I did love Flash and I liked aspects of Super. So I'm sure I'll dip my I'll give each run at least a couple episodes, and I'm sure what'll happen is by episode 3 of Flash I'll be invested in the storyline and I'll because I liked, and especially when they introduced Plastic Man last season and stuff, I enjoyed all that. And so I'm sure I'll get back into it, but that's cool.
Now, the last thing I want to mention is I did watch a documentary on Prime, and I want to say it's called Rise of the Empire.
Interesting.
It might be something else, but it's Rise of, and I tried to find a trailer online and I couldn't find a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
All I could find were clips from the thing, or there was like one YouTube user who had the entire movie up there. But it's a documentary about George Lucas and Star Wars.
Mm.
And it's very George Lucas focused. And he is definitely, I don't know, I didn't pay attention to who made the documentary or who funded the documentary. That's not where my brain goes. But if I had to guess, it's someone who is very friendly with Lucas and likes Lucas. And he's definitely portrayed as the underdog and the hero.
Hmm.
Okay, so I want to say that up front. But it's interesting because it talks about his career as a filmmaker, as an independent filmmaker. Like the thread that runs throughout the entire thing is how he is an independent filmmaker trying to do his own thing in Hollywood.
Mm.
Right. So he is David to Hollywood's Goliath. It's an interesting take on everything. And it does show, it focuses more on the first movie Star Wars and how and all the things that went into getting that made and how it got made and the compromises he had to do and where he didn't compromise and the deals he had to make to get that movie out there, the lack of support from the studio except for the head of the studio who eventually got fired because of it. That all is very interesting. And then it moves into Empire Strikes Back, and it does a fairly decent kind of talk about that. And by the time you get to Return of the Jedi, I feel like the they don't cover that quite a bit. They don't have as much information about that as they do the other. And then it talks a little bit about the gap in between, and then him, you know, culminating his vision in the new trilogy.
Interesting. I will have to check that out. I'm always up for that kind of thing. Cool.
Yeah. Cool. If you're a fan of Star Wars, if you're interested in that kind of behind the scenes look at, you know, what went into everything, that I think is a good documentary for you. I will also say that it very, very kindly talks about Alec Guinness.
Cool.
And his leadership of the actors on set.
Interesting.
If that makes sense. Yeah. Like even though he kind of really didn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
If you've read anything about it, like he just didn't get it. He didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. He wasn't sure what he was doing. It was almost like Picard, you know, Patrick Stewart going and filming the Star Trek thing just to get a check.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't unpack his bags because he figured it wasn't going to last very long and he could go back to doing what he wanted to do. But it definitely talks about how he, you know, the younger actors, he reined them in a little bit, like, because he was such a professional. Like, he showed up, he was ready to go, and if they weren't ready to go, it was like, you have disappointed Dad.
Yeah. Cool.
So that stuff's kind of interesting, too.
Cool. Well, I will check that out. Cool. All right. Well, everybody, thanks for joining us again this week. You can, if you enjoy the show, please consider becoming one of our backers over at patreon.com/functionalnerds. Thanks for all the people that are already backing us. We appreciate it. Patrick, what do you want to leave people with this week?
That's it.
All right.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Mo.
Say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?
I'm the one in the middle.